Well, good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Thursday, February the 29th. It is the day that the Lord has made. Let us choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I know I'm just getting started, but I hope you caught that. Rejoicing is a choice. It is more than an emotional response to positive circumstances. Rejoicing is a conscious choice, an intentional act of acknowledging and celebrating God's presence and goodness in our lives, regardless of our current situation. Here are two reasons why rejoicing is a choice. One, it transcends circumstances. Our emotions are naturally influenced by external factors. We experience joy when things go well and sadness when faced with challenges. However, choosing to rejoice goes beyond the immediate emotional state. It is a deliberate act of acknowledging that even in difficult times, God's love and God's faithfulness and God's promises remain constant. This act of faith allows us to find a deeper source of joy that is not dependent on temporary circumstances. Another reason why it's a choice, because it requires trust and perspective. Choosing to rejoice requires trust in God's character and ultimate purpose for our lives. We believe that even when we don't understand the present situation, that God is working for our good and for God's glory. This trust allows us to adopt a broader perspective, acknowledging that challenges are not the end of the story, and that joy can ultimately be found in surrendering to God's will and trusting God's perfect timing. Church, life can feel like a string of sentences. Some filled with joy, others punctuated by periods of hardship. And it's easy in the midst of challenges to feel like the end has come, to reach for the period and close the chapter. But here's a powerful truth I want you to jot down somewhere. Don't put a period where you should put a comma. Your story, beloved, is far from over. Just as a comma separates clauses within a sentence, signifying a pause but not an ending, so too do challenges in life. They mark, here it is, transitions, not terminations. They may signal a shift in direction, a moment to regroup and reflect, but they never signify the end of the narrative. Remember, God is the author of your story. God sees the entire narrative, the overarching plot, and the beauty that unfolds even through unexpected twists and turns. God weaves challenges into the fabric of your life, not to break you, but to strengthen you, refine you, and ultimately lead you closer to Him and the purpose He has designed for your life. So when you're facing a difficult chapter, please don't reach for the period. Instead, embrace the comma. Acknowledge the pause, the challenge, the temporary setback, but remember the story is far from over. With faith and trust and perseverance, you can turn the page and continue writing your story. It's going to be a story filled with resilience and hope, and ultimately the joy of knowing that God is always with you, guiding you towards a beautiful and fulfilling conclusion. But listen, this choice to replace the period with a comma is more than just a metaphor. It's a conscious decision to choose hope over despair, faith over doubt, and trust in God's plan, even when the path seems unclear Church, it's a reminder that your story is far from over and the greatest chapters are yet to be written. So welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got is right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. My name is Marcus D. Collins, and I get to lead an amazing group of people called Grace Community Church, and we are thrilled that you have decided to share in this sacred space with us today. Yesterday, we wrapped up talking about the seduced soul, the idols that draw us away from God. Last week, we talked about the restless soul, how we can find rest for our restlessness in God. And as I was reflecting on what to talk about this morning around 3 o'clock, I believe our discussions about the restless soul and the seduced soul highlight the importance, here it is, of intentionality and focus in our pursuit of God's kingdom. We saw how a restless soul, constantly seeking external validation and satisfaction, can struggle to find peace and purpose. And we saw how a seduced soul, drawn to the allure of worldly desires and idols, risk losing sight of God's ultimate plan. So how do we cultivate a life aligned with God's kingdom in the face of these challenges? The answer, much like the message within the classic fable, the tortoise and the hare, lies in the power of consistent focus habits. The hare, representing the restless soul, embodied a flitting and fleeting approach to life, relying on bursts of effort and natural talent. However, the tortoise, symbolizing focus, consistent action, achieved victory through slow and steady progress. In our spiritual lives, success isn't achieved through sporadic bursts of enthusiasm or relying solely on our natural abilities. Instead, it's about building upon daily dedicated practices, no matter how small they may seem in the moment. You see, the blessing is not in rapidity, how fast you go, but in regularity, how consistent you are. Successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. The year is moving pretty quickly, isn't it? I looked at the calendar when I announced the date a few minutes ago, and the first quarter is almost over. And some of you have made resolutions, things you wanted to change this year, and that's good. You wanting to change is good news. The bad news is that according to studies, over 90% of your resolutions vanished by February the 14th. That's the bad news. But many of us, we have good intentions, don't we? We want to lose weight. We want to stop overspending. We want to grow closer to God. We want to reconnect with people. But we keep failing. Do you want to know why? One, because, and I want you to get this, we focus on the what, but we don't understand the how. Let's deal with the allure of the what. We've all been there, captivated by the what, the dream vacation, the prestigious career, the picture perfect life we envision for ourselves. These aspirations fueled by societal expectations or personal desires often hold immense allure, beckoning us to chase them with unwavering focus, often painting a picture so vivid and enticing that we become captivated by the end goal itself. And you see, when we focus solely on the end goal, that is the what, we fall victim of at least three things. One, we start believing the promise of instant gratification. We live in a fast-paced world. We are bombarded with messages that promote instant gratification. The what often represents the tangible outcome, the immediate reward for our efforts. This promise of quick satisfaction can be highly seductive, especially when we are feeling impatient or discouraged. But also, we fall victim of the illusion of control. Because when we focus solely on the what, we feel a sense of control over the outcome. We believe that achieving the desired goal will bring us happiness and security, creating an illusion that we can control our own destiny. This sense of control can be particularly alluring in a world filled with uncertainty and change. And then we get caught up in the comparison trap. Social media and societal pressures often create a constant comparison game. We see others achieving their what, showcasing their success and their possessions, all of which can fuel our own desire to attain the same external validation and recognition. This comparison trap makes the what even more alluring as it becomes intertwined with our self-worth and societal acceptance. But don't get me wrong, the what can be a powerful motivator. But it's crucial to remember that it's only part of the equation. Goals are good. And I'm sure you can agree this morning that most of the people you come in contact with on a daily basis have similar goals. Goals represent the what. Goals are good. I want to be healthy. That's a goal. I want to get out of debt. I want better relationships with my family, with God. And no one wakes up and says, I want to fail today. I want high cholesterol. Nobody says that. Nobody says, I want to drift away from God. You see, people who succeed and people who don't generally have the same goals. When somebody gets married, what do people want? We want love. We want a blessed life. We want to be happy. Nobody's saying our goal is to make it to 5 years, maybe seven, and then divorces in the cards. Nobody does that. We all want something similar, but we end up with different results. Why? Because goals don't determine success. Systems determine success. Goals don't get us to the end desire in and of itself, but the systems in our life determine success. Hear me when I say this. You and I don't rise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our systems. This quote suggests a fundamental truth about achieving success, that focusing solely on goals is insufficient. It's the quality and consistency of your systems that truly determine your outcomes. Here's why that resonates with me. I'm a systems person. I'm not the most flexible person. And so the reason I like that quote is because it suggests that goals are aspirations, but systems are actions. Goals paint a picture of what you want to achieve, but they don't tell you how to get there. Systems, on the other hand, are the concrete steps and routines you implement to make progress towards your goals. These systems become the building blocks, the daily habits and practices that what move you closer to your desired outcome. You say, Collins, that ain't Bible. Well, when I read the Bible through the lens of that thought, I see examples all over the place of people successful because godless systems, or unsuccessful because of the lack of systems. Think about Daniel. Why was Daniel successful? Why was it amongst a bunch of young men did he stand out to all the leaders of godly gifted, talented and different? Why is it that when thrown into the den full of lions because of his obedience to God, he was able to stand strong, trust in God and come out alive on the other side? It's because, church, he had the systems in place that led to a life of faith and faithfulness. What was his system? For years and years and years, Daniel had pre-decided that three times a day, every day, he will stop to spend time with God. That was a system. If you want to grow in your faith and if you want to be more faithful, you will not rise to the level of your goals. You will fall to the level of your systems. If you have in place systems that build your faith, strengthen your knowledge and intimacy with God, then you will more likely become the person that God wants you to become. Here's the mistake that we tend to make. We tend to think, I want to change the results. I want to, whatever it is, I want to lose 20 pounds by Easter. I want to be more organized. I want to finally pay off that one credit card that's been with me so long. It's like a pet and it's driving me crazy. Whatever it is, the problem is this. We need to change the systems that create those results. If we will fix what we do, how we live, the habits in our life, the outcomes will fix themselves. All right. Let me give you some examples. And I'm running over fitness goals, for examples, desired outcome, lose weight and improve overall fitness. Unsuccessful approach, setting a weight loss goal and sporadically going on crash diets or intense workout sessions leading to frustration or and potential injury. What's the successful approach? Building a system of healthy eating habits, including portion control and balanced meals. One more for the road. Financial goals, desired outcome, save money and achieve financial security. Unsuccessful approach, setting a savings goal without a plan, leading to impulsive spending and an inability to reach the target. What's the successful approach? Building a system of financial management, such as creating a budget, tracking expenses, and automatic savings into different accounts. You get the point. When we focus on the result instead of the system, we're going to keep coming up short. Because there is a universal system woven into the fabric of this world. Whatever you sow, that will you also reap. A farmer never focus on the harvest. They focus on the seed, the soil, the environment that produces the harvest. If we want to change the results we are getting, then we need to fix the system that's creating the results. Reason number one, why we don't succeed is because we focus on the what without first understanding the how. I'll pick up here tomorrow. But this is what I want you to ponder today. Some questions. What areas of my life do I want to see improvement in? Are my current systems aligned with my desired outcomes? What small changes can I make to my systems today that will move me closer to my goals? And how can I hold myself accountable for implementing these changes? All right, you got it? Come on, let's pray. Father, as we conclude this day, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude for your blessings and guidance. We acknowledge that sometimes we get caught up in chasing the what, the goals and outcomes without focusing on the how, the systems and habits that truly lead us towards them. Help us, Father, to shift our focus from the desired end results to daily actions and choices that create the foundation for achieving them. Grant us the wisdom to identify areas in our lives that require change and the courage to implement sustainable systems that align with your will for us. Father, guide our steps as we strive to build healthy habits, stay disciplined, and celebrate even the small victories on our journey. We pray for strength to overcome challenges, patience to persevere through setbacks, and faith to trust in your perfect timing. Father, we stand before you in need of your guidance and renewal. We yearn to walk a path that is aligned with your will, but often find ourselves lost and unsure of the next step. Wash over us with your love and grace, Father. Grant us the wisdom to discern your purpose for our lives and the courage to follow it wholeheartedly. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, renewing our hearts, minds, and spirits. Cleanse us from the inside out, that we may be instruments of your love in the world, spreading kindness and compassion wherever we go. Father, we thank you for your constant presence and unwavering love. Even in moments of difficulty, we know you are with us, guiding our steps and offering us comfort. So open our eyes to see the miracles that surround us every day. And may we continue to learn and grow in your grace, using your gifts to serve others and spread your love in a world that desperately needs to see grace at street level. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor. It's in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody, say amen. Amen. Hey, listen, thank you so much for tuning in this morning. As usual, the replay will be uploaded to our website at gracechurchal.com. Hey, listen, I am rooting for you today. I am praying for you. Be careful, be watchful, be encouraged. Peace.